Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Greetings from Colorado. I just got off a plane, got back home for the weekend. It's 22nd of November, and the news regards a missile attack that the Russians launched against Ukraine earlier this week. As you probably remember from a video a couple days ago, the United States government has given the Ukrainians authority to use their weapon systems on Russian territory, so specifically in the Kursk province. The Ukrainians have already started to use them to target command and control nodes and a few depots, and they're certainly going to be going after things like rail logistics in the not-too-distant future. This is something where a lot of Russian politicos have saying that this is a red line, this will trigger a nuclear war, and that was obviously crap because it's the wrong message is coming from the wrong people, and the Russians have yet to engage in the sort of meaningful conversation about the war that would allow the return of some sort of deterrence doctrine. Anyway, in order to try to press their case that there would be consequences, the Russians launched a weapon from down near the Caspian Sea, well further away than it needed to be, to hit someplace in Ukraine. At first, everybody thought it was an ICBM, that's an intercontinental ballistic missile, and the only reason those exist are to have nuclear warheads on them. The idea was that it was supposed to be a threat to the United States. Turns out it was not an ICBM, not an intercontinental ballistic missile. It was a new type of weapon called an Oryshnik, which is an intermediate range weapon. Now, intermediate range weapons in Europe, well, between the United States, the Soviet Union, and the Europeans, they were banned under a 1988 treaty called the Intermediate Range Forces Treaty, the INF. The idea, and this was at the end of the Cold War when Reagan was in charge, the idea is if we remove the shorter range missiles that could be used in the European theater, then we move off of hair trigger alert and we can start negotiating with some confidence, some sort of post-Cold War pact, which eventually would culminate in things like strategic arm limitations that would take all of the city flatteners out of the equation. Well, about 15 years ago, the Russians started violating the terms of that treaty and started developing weapon systems like the Oryshnik, which now have hit the battlefield. It's not so much that this is a warning to the United States, because the United States isn't a target of intermediate range forces. It's too far away. This is about the Europeans. And the question in Russian foreign policy and strategic policy has always been divide and conquer. They don't like NATO because it allows everyone to band together and it brings the United States and the Canadians into the party. They want a system where it's every man for themselves. And from a military point of view in the European space, that makes the Russians the most powerful player. So the whole point of developing an intermediate range missile and now launching it at Ukraine is a demonstration to the Europeans that we are back to the Cold War in terms of the Russians' capacity to nuke Europe before anyone can do anything. Or at least that was the intent. It is definitely not working. The British and the French have already allowed their weapon systems, most notably the Storm Shadow and the Scalp missile systems, to be used by the Ukrainians to target the Russians directly. In addition, in Germany, we have a chancellor who's on his way out, Olaf Scholz, who has been very hesitant to allow German weapons to be used. He's most likely going to lead his party, the Social Democrats, into a trouncing in elections that will happen within 2 or 3 months. At which point, the new incoming chancellor of the opposition party, the Christian Democrats, has already said the first thing he's going to do is call Putin, threaten him, and then free the German equivalent system, which is called a TARS, for use by the Ukrainians. And third, we have Finland and Sweden commenting about the sabotage by Russian and Chinese interests of internet cables and telecommunication cables in the Baltic Sea by already talking about activating Article 5, which is the mutual defense clause of the NATO treaty. So the Russians are misreading the situation. They're misreading how the Europeans are standing. They're misreading what the European nerve is. The question is whether or not the Europeans can stick to it. We're now in this weird situation where the Europeans are doing a lot more for Ukrainian defense than the Americans, because they know at the end of the day now, with or without the Trump administration, that they're the ones who are going to have to live without whatever the security situation evolves into. And so we're seeing a lot more interest in all of them to step up. And my personal favorite is an 8-party commission that involves all of the Scandinavian countries, all of the Baltic countries, Poland and Germany, to start investing in defense industry manufacturing in Ukraine proper, so that the Ukrainians have a better chance of standing on their own. Will it all be enough? We'll see. But what we know for sure is that the Russian effort has had absolutely the opposite effect.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.